Cool. In finding what I need to preach, as I have over the last couple of weeks, I thought I knew last Sunday, and I remember telling you before I preached that God had changed all that. And I left the service having preached on that thought of grace for grace. And I left the service and I thought, Lord, I don't know why you had that on my heart. But I found out this week of why he wanted me to preach on grace and the strength God gives through grace. And as the week has gone on this past week, I thought, Lord, now what do I do for this Sunday? I thought, well, I'll go back and I'll revisit the book of Peter and look at some things there. And Friday and yesterday, last Friday in particular, I guess, or yesterday evening, the Lord led me in another way. And I thought, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to say all you want me to say. And I want you to get glory and honor in it all. And kind of like I said last week, I'm not going to have a lengthy message today. But it is what the Lord said to bring. In the gospel record of Mark, chapter number six. A very familiar passage. A very familiar text. I have gone to this passage on many occasions. It is after Jesus has fed the multitudes. Verse 45 is where we'll begin. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the multitude or the people. And when he had sent him away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, ye not afraid? And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore, that is, reading verses 45 down through 53. I read a statement recently by a man named Robert Morgan. And he said the Bible is both a storybook and a stormy book. He said the weather patterns flow throughout the pages of Scripture like a forecaster's map. Whether it is the storm of Noah found in Genesis, or Jonah's storm found in his little book, or whether it is Paul's storm in Acts 27, or even here, the disciples in Mark chapter 6. But just as we can learn some things from storms naturally, I believe there are some things we can learn from storms spiritually when they blow on our lives. I don't know why, but it seems like for most of my ministry, I have often found myself drawn to storm passages in the Bible. They have always somehow just drawn my heart and spoke to my heart. And I believe for one reason the Lord has been teaching me some things about storms. Because I believe it's often we find ourselves facing the storms of life. I believe as the children of God, we are often, as somebody once said, going into a storm, in the middle of a storm, or coming out of one. They seem to be have such an impact on our lives. There are storms that affect families. They blow on our homes and shake our lives, and we feel the force of the storm. There are storms that affect our physical lives that at times leave our bodies with brokenness and pain and difficulty. There are storms that affect us in our social life, affecting our relationships with other people. There are storms that affect our emotional life, leaving behind broken dreams, shattered hopes, and defeated lives. And then there are those that come into our personal life bringing disappointment and frustration. We are all aware of how devastating storms can be. In my mind, I thought about Hurricane Helene, and all of the damage that it did in passing our area. But one of the fascinating things to me that I've always had about hurricanes is the eye. I have always been fascinated how that a storm of hundreds of miles across, and as the winds spin and churn, bringing destruction in the middle of that storm, sometimes maybe only 20 or 30 miles wide is the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm, it is an area of calmness. And ran about people when the storm came and the eye was where they were. People would go out and see the sunshine. Yet they would see that the rain had stopped because they were in the eye of the storm. That very phrase, the eye of the storm, is often used to describe moments of peace during turbulent times in people's lives. I believe there is something of the eye of the storm in this text. As a matter of fact, I've got quickly just three things I want to pull out and show you, and I'm done. I notice, first of all, the eye of providence over the storm. In verse 45, it says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people." I say it like this, that there is nothing that escapes his authority. There is nothing that abides outside of God's jurisdiction. God is totally in control of everything that touches our lives. I know I don't always realize and understand how our lives, our worlds can at times be filled with chaos and hurt and trouble. But then I go back to this story again and realize Jesus knew all about it. There wasn't a single event that was about to take place that was out of his control. When we think about the providence of God, it speaks about his continuous involvement in our lives and in our hearts. Tony Evans, the black preacher from out in California, I believe it is, maybe Texas, I don't remember exactly. He said these words I thought were important. He said, "Everything God rules, he runs. Even when it doesn't look like he's running, even when life looks out of control, God is running, it's out of control. Even when it seems like everything is going awry, God is still in charge. The providence of God is mysterious and miraculous in how God connects everything in His perfect plan and will. Deborah said it a while ago in testifying how that we know that God has a plan, and it is always a perfect plan in His will. So I see the air of providence over the storm, but I see the eye of perception on the storm. In verse 46, says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. I am so thankful God sees every moment of my life. I'm glad He understands my every frustration. He knows my every burden. He sees my every tear. He knows when I am so burdened down that I can't even seem to pray. He knows when I've wrestled and can't get an understanding of His purpose and plan. But we are never out of His sight. He saw them. I'm glad there is one who still sees us in His great understanding. I'm glad that He knoweth, as Job said, the way that I take. He knows the burdens. He knows the path. He knows the stress. He knows the strain of our hearts. I'm glad that He knows. But then the last thought, I'm going to change the wording just a little. And I see here the eye of presence in our storm. And I'm not talking about EYE now. I'm talking about capital I. I see the eye of presence, of His presence. Says in the latter part of verse 48, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Seems like whenever life has become such a burden and things that are out of our control are happening and going on, we get so overwhelmed by it all. We may not understand it all down here, but we can rest assured of the eye of His presence in our soul. I'm glad He's promised I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I'm glad that he said, I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. In every storm and in every situation, I'm thankful that he's with us. Bill Gaither wrote that song they sung a while ago, years ago. I want to just read you some of the words in case you just really wasn't focusing on what he says. He said, there is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand still leads me as I go. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that leads me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach the strand, still guided by the unseen hand. I am so thankful that we have the eye of His presence. We're never alone. Through all the sicknesses, difficulties, disappointments, He's always there. I hadn't thought about it in a while, and yesterday we were at the house, and Alice pointed it out to me, and since then I've looked at it half a dozen or more times. Back in 2017, part of your pastor appreciation given to me and her is a picture. And in the picture in the center is a picture of the church here. And all around the picture, people had written verses of Scripture that were favorites of theirs. In that fall of 2017, I had just finished my cancer surgery and was in radiation treatments. And in the top left-hand corner, Kevin and Deborah had put this verse. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It was sufficient grace in 2017 for what we were dealing with, and there is sufficient grace for all that Kevin and the family is dealing with today. I'm glad that I have an unseen hand that is with me through every storm, every trial, every burden, every care in my life. Feel like I need to just share that with you. I don't know how much it may do for you, but it sure did a lot for me. Just to think about Him and how He sees, how He understands, how He knows. Even when it looks like He isn't working, He's still working. And in the end, He will get the glory. It may be when we stand in His presence, I don't know how He'll move. But there we could look upon His face and give Him glory for who He is. David, if you will, I'll let you come and get us a song. There may be somebody, there's a need in your heart. There may be somebody, you're burdened with some things that you just want to bring and lay at His feet today. I don't know what you may need, what you may have a longing for in your heart. And whatever it is, He can supply it. I will stand.